I talk to a spirit. She comes in my dreams.
What is the path to awakening supposed to look like, to feel like? How do you know if you are on it? We ask these very sacred and sometimes vulnerable questions to many different women from all walks of life. A conversation that needs to be shared and heard. I'm Jo Hendy.
I'm Amanda Parker.
And welcome to the Girl Awakening Podcast.
That'll just be like...
We're starting with laughter.
Oh, yeah. So much.
The only way to start.
Yeah, well, it's always really a beautiful thing when you have someone that's been in on a... episode before and literally brought a huge dynamic into play.
Which is the theme that we've been coming into this year, which we just briefly touched on, is that, you know, there never is just an awakening, as we know. And it feels like the deeper we're going into each year, we're realizing more quickly about ourselves and where we're really at than we ever have before. So, like, we can go back and we can think, oh, the trauma or something that we've had years ago and, oh, yeah, that was my awakening, but it's like, oh, that's just one layer.
Yeah, it's never done. And that, you know, the spiral, the spiral evolution, the spiral dance that we're on, we're really feeling that signpost. I've seen the signpost before, but it looks different. And I think today with our guests that we have in today, we're going to kind of go into that space quite a lot with...
First of all, welcome, Girl Awakening listeners.
Hello.
You've got Amanda and I here. Sorry, I didn't even introduce ourselves at the start. We got swept up in the moment.
Yeah. You should recognise the laughter by now.
Absolutely.
Know who we are.
We have the lovely Kirsten Morrison back with us today. Hello, beautiful lady.
Hello. This is my third time on.
Oh, my gosh.
We got so caught up in the first conversation. We needed to come back for a second conversation.
That's right.
Because and now we had to come back for a third conversation.
How's that for evolution?
Yeah.
Kirsten, just a little reminder that Kirsten does human design. I don't even know how else to say that, but it's a very beautiful look at kind of what type of person you are.
It's your soul blueprint. It's like, here's your user manual for your human experience.
Ah,
so
beautiful. That's
I feel like, it's just, it covers so many things. Like, basically, no matter what you wanted to find an answer to, it's probably in your design.
Yes. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Something you can take away in your back pocket and just pull it out and,
I pull it out all the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. Every time I get a little bit off track, I just pull it up. I'm like, okay, I'm back.
Yeah.
I should know better now.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, no, we've got that, embed that in a little bit more.
And this is interesting too, because often there's, you know, you can read things over a period of years and something different will pop out, like, you know, big books like A Power of One or, you know, something like your astrology chart or your human design chart or a reading you had with somebody and something different will pop out every time because 100%. Of where you are in your evolution.
Totally. And that's what I always say to everyone that comes into my space when I'm talking about human design is I'm like, as I'm sharing this with you, pretend you're hearing it for the first time because you are, because you've never been this person in this chair right now.
Yeah.
And so I think that a lot of people tend to overlook some of the basics of their design because they, you know, are looking at all the shiny bells and whistles, but it's like, but I still learn things about the basics every day and I've been in this world day in, day out for 3 years. It's like, I'm still learning about the basics, so we can never learn too much because we're always evolving.
Oh, that's so true. And that's the perfect segue into where we're going today because we're not here to talk about human design, although...
No, you can go back and listen to the previous two podcasts.
Exactly. Absolutely.
And Kirsten has a podcast herself where you talk about it too.
But Kirsten's had quite a big shift in her life. And I'm physically looking at her and she's, I mean, we just chatted about this. You've lost around 10 kilos.
Yes.
Mm. And we also just talked about the power of evolution and, you know, how it's always happening. It's exactly what you just said. So do you want to share? Like, I think we just hand it over to you and you just share whatever comes up and we can just let it roll and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think we have to actually, like, go back...
Absolutely.
A couple of years now because basically I think, you know, this awakening really started through being in an emotionally abusive relationship.
Yeah.
And that was really, really challenging. And I actually didn't realize at the time, but I now know, actually just how much impact that has on you. And not just while you're in it. I think so many people are like, oh, well, he's gone now.
Yeah.
And it's like, but I'm still dealing with that years later.
Yeah.
And so it has been a really big journey to, I think, recognize the layers with that and also go through so many multifaceted elements of the healing.
Yeah.
But I think actually really why I, you know, ended up having the courage to reach out and say, oh my God, you know, this would actually be a great topic to speak into was I was actually watching, I don't know if you've heard about it, but there's a 50-part TikTok series. From Risa Tisa. So she's this incredible woman, but she had ended up in a relationship with a pathological liar, and she just outlaid her story so beautifully. But I think it was so healing for me to watch.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, really realized I haven't really ever spoken about this. I haven't really touched on it anywhere else. And I realized through healing her story, like hearing her story, just how healing it can be and how validating it can be. So really, there's so many elements to my awakening that really stemmed from here. And I hope that, you know, if any, you know, people are listening to this who have been in a similar experience, that it's also equally healing for them to
absolutely
hear that as well. And not only that,
just hearing you talk about it, there's so much power in getting honest, you know, just in what was going on for you, where you're at, because as we know, we're all connected.
Yeah.
So whatever you're going through, there's a part of us that have been through it or may go through it.
You know,
that's how it works. And the more that we can communicate and start to talk about vulnerability in that way and take responsibility as we're communicating it, we're actually starting to create more unity between everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the reason that I ended up in that situation was because I really didn't know the signs to look for. Yes. And I think it's one thing to even logically know what the signs are. But when you're in that situation emotionally, it's so easy to paint the red flags pink or white, you know? And it's like that scene in Alice in Wonderland where they're like, we're painting the roses red. It's like, that was like me, but like with the red flags, like every day, just like, we'll just paint over that one, we'll paint over that one. And so, you know, I'm not going to go into too much depth around that particular relationship, but it was years and we actually connected online. And so we built a connection online. He was actually living overseas and he came out here to, you know, have a trip and connect and see if there was something there to explore. In hindsight, there were definitely a few red flags in the lead up to us actually meeting. And there was just something that I was just like, I just don't know if this is right for me. And now having an understanding of my human design, I didn't know I was an emotional authority.
Yeah.
I didn't know I needed to ride the wave. I didn't know that I needed to have a longer courtship and actually land in that emotional clarity for myself. I think I had actually landed in the clarity that it wasn't for me, but the trip was already organized.
Wow.
So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to get through this trip. And that's it. And some of the red flags.
That's doing the right thing, isn't it?
Yeah. That's and so I think some of the, I think some of the red flags prior were just, there seemed to be like a lot of pressure. There was a lot of like, you know, next year, do you want to come to this wedding with me? And I was like, oh, we haven't even met yet. That seems weird. That's a long way off. So there was just a few things like that where it was like seemingly coming along quickly, even though we hadn't really connected. So that was just a little bit strange. It seemed a bit intense before we'd even met. But I had been single for 8 years by this stage. Yeah. So I was also, there was a part of me that was like, oh, well, you know, this is also kind of nice. Like maybe I just am out of the game. I don't really know. And so, you know, then when he came out here, there was an immediate pressure to give him an answer of whether we'd be in a relationship within 2 days of him arriving.
Yeah.
And this is really like the first of many times, like this whole podcast could be called should have listened to my intuition. So I went out to dinner.
You, as a woman if you're excited, I can I can even see myself where I'd be like, oh my God, this is
cool. Being flattered.
Yes.
You know, also, you know, I've been single for 8 years. Someone has traveled internationally to go basically on the longest first date ever with me.
Oh, we could add so many and elements so in there.
There's so much of that, like maybe this is like a fairy tale, you know, we're destined to meet, you know, all of these things.
Absolutely.
It's like out of all the people in the world, out of all the connections, all the ways, Instagram, like, you know, and so I had romanticized it a little bit in my head. And anyway, I had dinner with a friend after this, you know, we'd basically had this conflict around like why I wasn't ready to give an answer, whether we should be together within 2 days.
Yeah.
And I ended up going out to dinner with a friend. He was meant to join us, but he said, you go, I think I just need some space. And so on that dinner, my friend said to me, like, you're sabotaging this.
Oh.
Oh, this is everything you've ever wanted.
Like, which is what so are you doing? Normal for a friend to right. say too.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Give yourself a break.
Right. And so I then was like, yeah, I think you're right. Maybe I am just so. So then I agreed to be in a relationship. Yeah. So this is the first time that I should have listened to myself, not somebody else.
Yeah.
And so I think it's so easy to do, right? Mm-hmm. And so then the rest of the trip, you know, the definition of love bombing. Like I just got so swept in, sucked in. And also because he had had 6 months essentially to evaluate my personality online, he presented the exact person that I wanted, was interested in all the same things, he but wasn't blueprint. Really. Exactly. And so I thought I'd hit the jackpot.
Yes.
And so then obviously he had to go home and then we had decided that he would come back and we would, you know, make a go of it. My mum asked me when he was still out here, she pulled me aside when he was in the bathroom and she said, are you sure you want to do this? And inside, aww, my voice said, no. Yeah.
Mum's no. Don't
but I said, yes. And I went through with it anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's a belief. It's a belief. It's an optimistic faith in a way, isn't it? To give something a chance when all the beautiful things are being presented.
Yeah.
And it seems paradoxical that our intuition is saying no.
I know. And, but I just, I also just knew that no was what I really felt.
Yeah.
And I wish I had have listened to that. And so even sharing this part is like, really just trust that inner voice. Yeah. It's not here to mess with you. No. And so I should have listened to that no. And I said yes out loud. Wow. And I went through with it.
Yeah.
And so what really transpired, I think, from that point was there was definitely a lot of strange things that happened even in the little gap where we were separate that I definitely should have paid attention to. But again, I was just painting those red flags. And I was so, I think, especially because of the line of work that I'd found myself in, it was so easy for me to think, well, you know, it's understandable because, you know, he just had this great trip and now he's back home and it's stressful. So that's understandable to this way. I'm just like justifying. Yeah. And so I just thought, you know what, like it is a strange situation. Like things will be better when he arrives. And so I just kept talking myself into it. Obviously, it was not, I know. Obviously, it was not the best when he arrived and I started seeing the cracks already. But again, I was like, you know what? It is stressful. He's just moved out here. He doesn't have any friends. And I'm just continually, you know, justifying his behavior.
Was there any bodily signs? Do you remember?
What do you mean bodily? Like
did you... You know,
so for me, I was like, whether I was picking up cues from him. Like obviously my fight or flight was completely activated.
Okay, yeah.
And I didn't even realize at the time because I also, you know, my whole family's like, we're like the definition of WASP. It's like silent treatment, don't talk about it. You know, so I'd never dealt with like conflict before in the way that he was presenting me conflict. Yes. So I, again, was like, well, this is my stuff. I'm just not used to having conflict. Like the fight or flight is just because I'm not used to someone speaking in this way, you know, because I'm so used to like, you know, just sweeping everything under the rug. I'm not used to having conflict. So, you know, this is just new for me. So again, I'm just talking myself out of even my own experience in my body and what my body's telling me. And so anyway, this obviously went on for years. And I think we were together for 3.5 years.
Yeah.
And basically across that time, I think there was definitely like cycles with the behavior.
Yeah.
There was, you know, the person that I thought I had chosen that were really great, the perfect partner.
And then disappear.
And then the first time I really recognized that this is what was happening is I had read this post that someone had shared on their social media and she said she was speaking about the cycles of emotional abuse and one of the cycles was you start to walk on eggshells knowing that the behavior is going to change. Mm. And I realized as I was driving to the gym after I'd seen this on her story that I was on eggshells because I could sense that it was about to shift.
Mm.
And I realized at that point it was a pattern of behavior that then things would shift. Mm. Then the fight would be picked, then I would be punished, then I would have to take accountability for whatever had gone wrong.
Mm.
And then once my punishment was deemed sufficient, then we would go back to perfect boyfriend again.
Oh.
And so there was just these very, I would say every 3 months, there were just these cycles.
Yeah.
And again, the cycle always had a justification that I was then like, you know what, maybe that is right. You know, we are, at that stage, we were living with my mum. And we are living with my mum. You know, we don't have the visa yet. We don't have this. Like, it was always like there was something, and mm-hmm. I was just like, you know what, you know, okay, yeah, it, you know, it's just circumstantial. Once we have things will get better.
Oh, and such a pattern, isn't it?
And I would just always was hoping and waiting for the person that I thought I had connected with and that I'd fallen in love with to return. And I was like, where did that person go at the start? Like, I'm waiting for that person to come back. And of course they never do, because that is not who they are. That is the image they present to you to get you into the relationship before the mask falls off and you see the real them. So it's like they have to, you know, accelerate things and suck you in order to make sure that you stick around.
Yeah.
And so I think also, like, with this, it's like it doesn't start out at a level 10 straight away. It's like I heard this saying, it's like, you know, the frog that gets put in the pot and like slowly gets brought to boil, it doesn't realize it's in danger initially because it's jumped into this like cool water, it's fine.
Yes.
And so it, you know, it did continually escalate, and I think you do kind of get like chipped away at, and you do start to question yourself because what they're presenting to you seems quite valid. And then I, again, you know, justifying behavior, excusing things, painting the red flags pink, because I think ultimately at the end of the day, the main reason that I continued to stay in this relationship was because I was, you know, at this point, you know, we met when I was 33, you know, by the time our relationship ended, I was 36. Mm. And so for me, I was like, this is my chance at marriage. Mm. This is my chance at family. Mm. And if I don't have this, I may never get it.
Mm.
And so it was like, I just was so desperately trying to contort myself and do anything that I could to make it work so that I could get that checkbox of marriage and family, because I thought at my age, that was my last opportunity. Yeah. I didn't see a way out, and I wanted it so badly, and I wanted it on my timing.
Yeah.
And I wanted to, for it to be my time for that too.
Yeah.
And so I think it was, yeah, just this like continual wishing, hoping, waiting. Obviously we had a pandemic in the mix in all of that as well.
True.
And so basically we ended up moving out into a new home, and at that point everything that had been a reason up until that point was ticked off the list.
It's getting deeper and deeper too, isn't it?
So like we had the
stuff's getting deeper and deeper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we had the place.
Containers stronger around you.
He had a new car. He had friends. He had a great job. Like all of the things that had been excuses for the behavior had been ironed out. We had the visa. My business was doing well to the point that it was no longer now going to be, you know, a pressure on the relationship. We could have traveled. Like we had everything. All the circumstances were correct to what he had said was the cause of his behavior.
Funny and how then, the universe gives you what you need.
And then it got worse. Mm. And I realized at that moment, wow, this is never going to change.
Mm.
Like, this is actually just who you are. And the goalpost is always going to be moved out on me. And it was so destabilizing, because basically not only was, you know, had I worked so hard to support us to get to this place that we arrived in, and then it was like, I don't want any of this. I want to go traveling. Like, I want to go on the road. Like, I don't even want any of this. And I was like, oh my God, we've just spent all these years with this is like the thing, and now you don't want any of it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I can't live like this. And so I had sort of just landed in this reality of like, this is always going to be how it is. And I don't know if I can cope with that anymore. Yeah.
Nothing was good enough.
No. And so it was an extremely turbulent time in that time. But basically, we decided to separate at that point. And I was really just done. Like at that point, like previously, like whenever we had, you know, had an argument or he was like, I don't think this is going to work, I would go overtime, people pleasing, doing anything, promising anything to keep the relationship together, because I had wanted that family dynamic and that marriage so badly. And actually, in hindsight, it's so great that I did want it so badly, because he didn't want to marry me and didn't want to give me children, because that was a power play. Yeah. And so I'm so grateful for that, because it meant that I wasn't married.
Yes.
And that I didn't actually have children with this person.
Can I ask a question? Because I think it might be significant for the listener. Is that, did all your friends like him, and was he like the great, because you know how there's this facade that, you know, if he's, all my friends like him, he's like the great boyfriend when you go out, he's
he didn't come anywhere with me.
Okay, so it was pretty obvious.
Yes.
If I was your friend, that I would say, it's not really the greatest relation.
Yeah. And I think that I wasn't really completely honest with myself. And so I don't think I was actually completely transparent with my friends. Nobody knew how bad it was until it was over.
Yeah.
And I think the only person that really truly knew how bad it was my mum, because she was living with us for the first few years of our relationship. And she was trying her best to manage the situation, because she was really worried that if she spoke her truth to me, that he would get me on his side and alienate me from her. So she was just trying to make sure that I was not isolated and protected the best that I could be. Wow. And for her, that was just by keeping me in the house. And she would say little things like, are you sure this is the type of relationship you want to be in forever? Are you sure this is sort of what you want to put up with? Are you happy? Like, when he says these sort of things, was trying to ask the questions. But, you know, again, I was just so committed to it being my time and being chosen and for the fairy tale to come back.
Yeah.
That I just didn't really listen.
Yeah.
And there was obviously a huge part of me that knew this isn't right. Mm-hmm. But I was like, but what else is there going to be? And I also justified it because I would see other people in relationships that maybe weren't so great.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would hear stories about people being single. And I'm like, well, I don't want to be back out in the streets with that. And like, you know, maybe it's better with just managing what I do know here. And, you know, maybe there isn't really great relationships. And maybe everyone has problems. And And also, he would always tell me that the arguments that we would have were normal. He's like, couples fight, couples do this. So he would always like justify and gaslight me into believing that the dynamic we had was normal. And so I was like, maybe it just is. Maybe this is just it. And I obviously knew that I wasn't happy with it. There was definitely, you know, some more escalated situations that, you know, previous to me being in that relationship, I was like, I would never tolerate something like that. And I did. And then I would just justify it again. But like I said, once we got to this point where everything had been ticked off the list, there were no more excuses. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that it actually got worse after that.
Mm.
I was like, how can this be? Mm. I was like, this is just who you are. Like, nothing I ever do, nothing I ever resolve is ever going to be enough to have the relationship that I want.
Mm. So the glasses started to come off.
Started to come off.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, you know, he was the one that addressed, I think we should separate. And by that stage, I was done. I was like, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
And I was obviously devastated. I felt like a failure.
Mm-hmm.
I was so like, this is it. Like, that was my chance and it's gone. And so I was very upset. But this is like the first moment that I can really, truly say that I heard the voice of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because the next day, we went on a walk and I didn't realize it at the time, but he didn't really mean that he wanted to separate. He wanted me to do my usual pattern, which was to people please and be like, I'll sell the house, I'll quit my business, let's go on the road. That's what he wanted me to say.
What?
And so I didn't see that at the time. I was just like, okay, it's done. The next day we went on a walk together and we were, you know, having a conversation, and he said, you know, maybe I was a little bit hasty yesterday.
Oh,
maybe we should work through this. And this has never happened to me before. I would say the closest thing was when I heard that no at the start of the relationship. Yeah. But when he said that, there was a voice that I heard, and it was not like the same as like an intuitive nudge. It was, and it wasn't like someone else's voice either. Like, I'm not hearing voices.
Yes.
But it was this voice that I heard, and the message was, keep going. You're almost free.
Oh.
I thought it was going to be run, baby, run.
No.
That is fantastic.
And
yes.
When I heard that, it was like, you know, like Harry Potter, like when they do like a, you know, a charm and they like tap someone on the head and like it washes over them. That's what it felt like to me. But it was like, that was the moment that I woke up.
Wow.
And it was like this full wave of energy went from my head to my toe, and it was like the veil had lifted. And I finally saw everything for exactly what it was.
Wow.
And I almost stopped walking.
Yeah.
But in my mind I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And then I just realized, okay, I'm going to have to do the best I can to get myself out of this situation. And so I said, no, like, I think we were right in the decision yesterday. You need to go home and see your family and friends anyway. Let's just go ahead with that. From that point, from that, from that, not then, because I think he was still like, oh yeah, you're right. So I don't think he really understood how serious I was in that moment, because he'd never seen me serious before. I'd never given him a reason to think that I would ever leave. And he used to say that, you'll never leave me. You're never going to find anyone else.
Oh.
And so I...
He would have felt, you could just get the impression that he would have felt an incredible sense of control.
Oh yeah, 100%. Mm. From that point, it actually took 7 weeks to get him on a plane to leave. And there was a lot that happened in that seven weeks.
Yes, I can imagine.
But I just stuck... Because the veil had lifted, I just continued to stay as calm and sturdy as I could to continue to close the loops to get to that point. Mm. Now, my sign is a kookaburra.
Oh.
And so when I got home from dropping him home from the airport, I sat on the couch, and I shit you not, I've got a video of it. There's like 30 kookaburras.
Holy cow.
That came and sat on my fence and went absolutely bananas for like 30 minutes. I've never seen anything like it.
You had an accolade from the heavens.
Literally, it was like,
that's so amazing.
Correct decision. Mm. Like,
that's so beautiful.
Good work.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, I've done the right thing. Now we can move forward.
Mm.
Wrong. Because obviously as soon as he arrived back home, he was like, rang me within like a day of landing, not even a day, like maybe the day, and was like, I want a guarantee from you that I can come back home. I want to work through this. I want your verbal agreement on the phone right now that that's going to happen. And I was like, no, like, we've literally just broken up. We've had 7 weeks of closure. I haven't even had time to decompress from this situation or even really have a moment to even realize what has happened. And so the answer is no, like, we're complete. And that, I think, was really what initially set him off. And so then we actually had months of this rapid cycling of what I had experienced in person, but because he knew he'd lost control of the situation, it was this rapid cycling of coming back to be like, we should be together, love bomb. When I would say no, then there would be an explosion, and then it would be like, don't talk to me, and then we'd have a few days of peace, and then he would come back, I'm really sorry.
Was he here or I still
he was overseas, thankfully, and this is the only time this is the only time that I was grateful for the COVID lockdowns, because he had to sign an agreement leaving the country to say that he wasn't going to come back for 3 months because the borders were still closed. So I knew I had 3 months at least to get my ducks in a row. And the scariest part, I think, at that point for me was, it wasn't until he was gone that I realized how impactful the relationship had actually been, and that I could actually finally have the ability and the space to actually see it for what it was. But also, I just realized how unsafe I had been feeling for years, and how impactful that had actually been on my nervous system.
Yeah.
And I also think, ironically, in the field of work that I do, you know, where I am working with women, I am working with the nervous system, I am working with the mind, I am working with behavioral patterns, I'm like, how did I not see this?
Mm.
How did I not understand the impact that this was having on me?
Mm.
And so there was a little bit of shame around that, of like, well, how did I let this happen to me?
Mm.
And like, I definitely will take like 100% accountability for how I ended up in that relationship, was because I had just wanted it so badly that I was willing to overlook things, and I left the door wide open for that relationship. And I also was not healed within myself to attract someone from the right space. And when we did meet, it was kind of perfect timing for him, because I was in the initial stages of my personal development journey. And at that stage, the whole big marketing push in that was like, find your king. Like, when you embrace your queendom, you find your king. And I was like, woo, like, you know, a year into personal development, I found my king. Like, I fucking did it. I manifested this. And so I also was like drinking the Kool-Aid from the personal development community in like a bad way, and had
it's a powerful
left,
dynamic. Yeah, it's a group and had, dynamic.
And had left the door wide open for this to come into my life. And like I said, I'd also really, I think, just painted all those red flags pink and just continually justified it under the hope that it would get better and that I would get the fairy tale I was looking for, because that's all I wanted. I just wanted to know that I had got the relationship, that I'd got my happy ending, and that I was going to, you know, have the marriage, have the children, have the family. And I just kept that seed of hope alive until I realized that it was never going to get better.
Well, it's back to that whole, the power of love, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like that, or the illusion of love.
Yeah.
We've grown up with this program in place that is life.
Yeah.
You grow up, you meet a man or you meet a woman, you get married.
Yeah.
You know, everything's fantastic.
Totally.
And
I had a friend tell me at 29 that her partner had said to her, whatever you do as a woman, make sure you're married before you're 30, because no man's going to want you after that. And that has always really stuck with me. And I think that when I got to 33, I'm like, okay, well, we missed the mark a little bit, but at least I'm 33. I'm still like early into this. Like, okay, we can still have kids. Like, I'm still on track. And I didn't even stop to question, like, but is this actually what's going to make me happy? And is that even my dream? Like, I didn't even really stop to check in with myself of whether that was actually right. And I wanted it so badly on my timing that I wasn't willing to wait for God's timing.
Yeah.
And so I said yes to something that was so wrong. And there were so many times that I think there was an opportunity for me to avoid this, but I didn't.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you live and learn. That's the experience I can chalk it up to. Obviously, yes, it did take quite a lot of effort to completely close the door on that. And, you know, now there's no opening, no contact. We haven't had any contact. We've closed all the doors. We closed all the loops. And it was very challenging. And it took a lot out of me. And at that stage as well, I'm living in a place by myself that was, you know, triple what I had been paying before. Yeah. Suddenly I'm left there by myself to pay it all. And also, obviously, I chose it because I chose to stay there as well. And also running a business at the same time. And that was so challenging, I think, as well, because obviously, you know, as I was just saying to you ladies before we jumped on, like, you know, this is years later and I'm only just feeling comfortable to share this story now.
Yeah.
So, of course, I didn't tell anyone or anyone in my community what was actually going on. And so I was then just really threw myself into work. And I think that because I had had so many creative ideas on the back burner in that relationship, that every single time I tried to execute, he would pick a fight or do something to kind of throw me off track. Anytime I started to rise, there would always be something that would bring me back down.
Yeah.
And I actually did ask him in one of our closure conversations, are you aware that you do that? And he said, yes. So he was aware that that's what he was doing. And so I had this enormous list of things that I really wanted to action. And I was like, okay, great. I've now got this clear runway. We've shut the door on that. Let me just go all in. I really should have gone to therapy. I should have gone to therapy instead of doing some, you know, some creative projects, or self-help. Maybe both at the same time. I was doing self-help, but you know what? I needed therapy.
Yeah.
And I think this is also the part with the personal development community, is I think we shit on therapy a lot. And so I was doing alternative therapies and different energy clearings and different things, which were all great, but they weren't the level of support that I actually needed at that time. And so I just threw myself into it. And I thought in that year, great, like, look at all the things I've achieved. Like, it's like the achievement thing. And and I was like, I've done more this year than I've done in the last 3 years. This is so great. And, you know, I'd been more social and I, you know, got my friendships back and I got my family connections closer than ever. And so I was like, this is great. Like, I am healing. I'm healed. And so I got to the end of the year and I thought, okay, I'm ready, I think, to dip my toe back into dating. I wish I had have gone to therapy before I considered dating, because I think we could have circumvented the next situation. And this is what was really the catalyst of my awakening. That was, I think, the backstory. That was the undercurrent of maybe what wasn't healed, that this situation then really brought to the forefront and catalyzed the need to heal and the need for this awakening. So basically at that point I started going, you know, I had always really resisted going on the dating apps. Yeah. I've never wanted to be on them. And again, we can call the podcast Should Have Listened to Your Intuition. I always knew the dating apps were not for me. But everyone was like, but that's the way you meet people. That's the only way to meet people. Like, And also, like, you've got to have the manifestation portal open to show the universe that you're serious, like all the things.
Yes.
So reluctantly, very reluctantly, I got back onto the dating apps. And also, I was even connecting with people in real life because I was going out.
Yeah.
And I just had this pattern of, like, no matter who I met, whether it was out in the wild or on the dating apps, that we would have a very short exchange and it would just fizzle out.
Okay.
And there was just no momentum happening. And I was like, what is wrong with me? Like, why can't I couldn't even get to a first date. I was like, why can't I just go on a date? Like, what is actually wrong with me? Like, I was seeing other people just like going on dates and I'm like, why am I not getting to a date? And then I think also because at this stage I was 37, I was about to turn 38. And I don't know why, but I just had this real big panic come over me. And I really was coming from a very desperate place at that point where I was like, if I don't find someone this year, like, I am not going to have a baby. Yeah. Like, this is like the end of the road. So I have to make this work. And so I was coming at it from the wrong place. And I was also
still in control.
Yeah. And so I was also in this mindset as well that I was like, oh my fucking God, like, I can't let 38 come up on the dating app. Like, no one will want to like date me. Like, you know, I was like, I've got to make it happen while I'm 37. I've got like a few weeks left, like fully just coming in this.
It's so very wild. Just that thought alone.
Frantic state. Like, yeah.
How many women are single out there? How many men are single out there? Like,
But
in that moment, it's just you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all the fear of things, like all these phrases just running in a loop.
Oh, my God,
around your head playing out at you and going, my God, they were all right.
Yeah.
I can't let them be right.
Yes, exactly. And so, I was definitely feeling that pressure. And so also then at that point, my business was doing so well. I was like, okay, this is the year I focus on love. This is my year for love. And actually that's the word I chose was love. That was my intention for last year. Wow, did that kick me in the ass, like in every which way possible. Mm. But it was all perfect in the end. But basically I ended up connecting with someone on the apps a couple of days after my birthday. So this was like 7th of January. And the conversation was great. I'm finally having this like dynamic, this conversational dynamic that I've been craving. And I'm like, oh my God, okay, here we go. This could be good. This could be something. And so I'm just like gassing myself up. Like, yep, I've chosen love. Like fucking 7 days later, here we go. Look at me. I'm master manifester. Like, don't call me a manifester in human design for nothing. Look at me. It's my time. Like, and so, you know, and I am a romantic at heart. Like, I definitely am, like, you know, immediate fairy tales into the future. And so I'm like, you know, through this conversation, like, absolutely, like, projecting into the future. Like, I'm basically walking down the aisle at this point. And so I'm like, yes, like, you know, that last relationship didn't defeat me. I'm gonna find my person. So I'm like, yes, okay, this is my time. And so anyway, there was so many twists and turns with this story. It could be a podcast alone, but I'm just gonna like keep it short and sweet. Basically, this person was highly engaged with me from like daybreak till bedtime, like just messages, 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 messages. And the conversation was really great. And I was like, this is awesome. Now, we did line up a date. And so we hadn't jumped on FaceTime. And again, I'm very shy. I've never been on the dating apps.
Yeah.
I'm very naive as well. So perfect victim for this. But also I am not really the person, like if someone was like, didn't want to face him, I'd be like, great, because like it's all fucking awkward. I just want to have a coffee and then I can, I don't know, that's like weird. Like, I don't even want to get on the phone. So I'm like, I don't even want to get on the phone, it's so weird. So that was also on me. Like, I should have just pushed through the fear of that and been like, let's jump on a call. Like, I should have just covered my bases there.
How hard are we on ourselves though? Like, I should have, because it's again, it's just that.
But it's also the responsibility of hindsight, I think. Like, I didn't see it in the moment. I was like, oh, great, this person's shy too. And he did say he was shy. Obviously not. So basically, from this point on, we have this date lined up. The day before the date, he picks a fight that he's noticed an edit on my dating profile app that I have not touched for 2 weeks. I'd actually even like close it off because I was like, great, this is the only person I want to have a catch up with. This is perfect. Again, probably shouldn't have closed all my options off at that point. But what he was saying was actually 100% not factual. And I actually addressed it and said, look, I have been in a situation in the past where my reality was distorted and that I was, you know, pressured into situations where I would have to accept someone else's reality as my own, and I'm not doing that again. Mm. So I was like very firm in that. I was like, this is not going to happen. This is not a behavior that I will stand for. Mm. So I was proud of that, but he then, you know, apologized, whatever, canceled the date still though. So we didn't go on the date.
Okay.
And then I thought, you know, he's asked for, you know, a second chance, tried to smooth things over. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, because he had also given me his backstory that he had been in a relationship for 12 years. They had cheated on him. Now this is all...
That's all handy, isn't it?
Yeah. So again, I do what I do best and justify, well, that's understandable. He's got trust issues, the trauma. Like, I'm just like, yes, cool. Like, I understand your trauma. Like, yeah. I will make excuses for you too.
Yeah.
So I've swept another wrong. I thought, okay, cool. Well, let's just have another go. A week goes by, no date gets planned. I address it. What's going on?
Mm.
Why are we not recommitting to the date? He's like, well, things have been weird since last week. And I'm like, well, of course they've been weird since last week because you accused me of lying and that was not the truth and you cancelled the date. So of course I'm not going to be my usual self until we agree to go on another date. And so then he was like, okay, great. Well, let's just try and like get back to where we were and then we'll build towards a date again. I'm like, okay. So I give it another week. Week goes by, no date is arranged. So I then pull the pin and I say, look, like we either go on a date or not, but I'm complete if not. And he was like, yes, you know, I'm not ready to go on a date. So like, you know, understand, like whatever. I unmatch, but he also had my phone number, but I unmatched on Hinge. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to let this defeat me. I'm going to get back on the apps. I get back on the apps and all I get is the same shit I'd always gotten before. Yeah. It's like three messages, ghost. Three messages fizzle out. And I was like, oh my God, I'm back here again. And so the only conversation that I really had in that whole time was with this one guy. And we had, you know, a short conversation back and forth. But again, it fizzled out and I actually unmatched. And then I deleted the app because I was like, I'm actually done with this. This is not my vibe. I fucking knew it. I should have listened to myself. This is not my arena. And so the next day I got a message from old mate and he messages and said, I really miss talking to you. And so I was like, oh, you know what? Like, I haven't been able to make it. Maybe I'll just give him one last chance. And so I give him one last chance. We have this other conversations unfold for a week. The best conversations we've had yet so far. I'm like, okay, great. And then he asked me if I'm still on Hinge. I say no. Anyway, long story short, we get into this like back and forth because he was like, well, I know that you're lying.
Oh my God.
Because you spoke to my friend and he showed me.
What the fuck?
Anyway, I didn't believe that for a second because I was like, what are the fucking odds of you? Like, guys don't do that. Oh my God, look at my matches. Yeah. Like, no, I'm like, that's just like weird. I'm like, that's not a thing. So I was like, at this point, I'm like, you know what? I would
have just gone.
Yeah.
Okay. See, there's a group of guys out there that are working on women to get whatever. These guys are in cahoots.
No.
Bye.
So I. So I was like, you know what? This is too much drama. The two people who have never met.
Yeah.
Best of luck to you. And I actually, anyway, said to him, I'm like, you know what? And I also think you're a catfish.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm like, I actually don't believe you are who you are. And this is, oh, actually, sorry. No, wait, hang on. Actually, that was a week later. So basically what happened, back. So I cut him off. I said, this is too much drama for two people who have never met. Thank you. Goodbye.
Yeah.
He agreed. The next day wrote me this really long apology. I said, thanks for that. And then he kept trying to talk to me.
Right.
And so then a week later, I'm just not replying to the messages. I'm trying to ignore. I'm writing like one word back, like just being very cool. Yes. I'm like, what are you still doing messaging me?
Yeah.
And so eventually my manifest anger really kicked in. The like a week goes by and he's still messaging. And I was like, okay, Hulk gloves come out. And so then I was like, literally said, why are you still contacting me?
Yeah.
Like, this is not feeling safe for me.
Yes.
I don't believe you are who you are. Yeah. I think you're a catfish.
Yeah.
Like, because I just was getting, you know, with a little bit of like space,
Yeah.
I was then being able to see, okay, this is actually just fucking really weird.
Yes.
And so, again, the reason that I had even let it go on for as long as it was because I just wanted it to be my time and I just wanted to be chosen. Yeah. And I was so desperate, coming in it from that desperate angle of like, I want this so badly. And I was just willing to, again, overlook it. And I even knew that I was overlooking things as I was talking to this person. I was like, and I was aware, like in the back of my mind, you are repeating the same behavioral patterns that you did that got you into the last relationship. Yeah. Like, why are you doing this? Why are you convincing yourself that this person
is right? Yeah. Well, like the good conversations.
And also the intensity of the conversation. It was like, I've got someone checking on me when I'm out with my friends. I've got like, you know, how are you? Your day? Like, what do you have for lunch? Like all the things. It was like very like cute. Yeah, and I was like, this is so nice. Yeah. I don't think I've ever really had that in message form. So anyway, long story short, from that point on, I did manage to find out that this person was not who they were saying they were.
Wow.
And so they were definitely using somebody else's photos.
Yeah.
And that person that they were pretending to themselves to be does not exist at all.
Wow.
And so
that's sad in itself.
Right.
Yeah.
However,
very prevalent.
I think what then really threw me after that, and it really did throw me into a really deep depression, and this was like the beginning of my awakening last year, was, well, one, I couldn't understand what their motive was.
Yeah.
I was like, why do this? Like, because, you know, normal, and I think this is where I really want to bring awareness this to, is because we're so conditioned to understand what normal catfishing is, but they've evolved. They're way smarter than they used to be. Like, we think catfishing in what you think scammers who are like, you know, give me money, my granny, you know, has an operation, like whatever.
Yeah.
We're thinking like that, or Nigerian prince, like, you know, here's your millions, give me your bank account. Like, we're thinking these traditional catfishing scams, but they have completely evolved.
Yeah.
And so what I have now learned is that there is a thing called a confidence scam. And so these people build a rapid rapport with you to extract as much personal information as they can to then either do identity theft or actually hack into your bank accounts. Mm. And so what really also clicked this into place for me is I saw this before I found out about confidence scams, but I saw this meme that said, I don't want small talk. I want to know your mother's maiden name, your first pet, the street you grew up on. And I thought, you know what? If you are asked any of those questions in context to a conversation over weeks, you would not even hesitate to give that information up. And so I realized that this person, that was their angle, was actually to try and extract money out from me. And I also have, like, there was little, like, you know, now that I understand that, you know, there was things that they were like asking, like, about my business and just like, would you consider your business successful? Like, different little things like that, where they were obviously trying to gauge how much money does this girl have? How much of my time is she actually worth?
Yes.
And so, you know, he was offering information about himself that I think could have been very incriminating. He wanted to pick me up for our date. That would have been my address. Thankfully, I said no.
Oh, my goodness.
He offered to, like, because I was out, he recommended a lunch to me, and then he offered to buy it. So he offered to send it to my bank account. I said no. He offered to Uber Eats me food.
Yeah. Keep going. It's all good. Oh. Wow.
He offered to Uber Eats me food.
This is wild.
And I said no again, but he would have had my address. Yes. So there's all these little things that I'm like, thank fucking God that I said no to those things. And so it's just, I think, really interesting. And I've heard so many other stories about, you know, different things since then. Like, I even heard about this guy on TikTok. Like, he had arrived at the date and he was at the restaurant. And then the girl was like, you know, there's something wrong with my Uber app. Can you order me an Uber? And he said, yeah, cool. Like, what's your address? I'll send it. And she said, actually, can you just cash out me the money and it'll sort out my problem? And he said, no, I'll just order you the Uber. And then she blocked him and unmatched him everywhere. So it's like, even things like that. So there's so many different little scams. So I'm just really saying, like, be cautious. But again, just listen to your own intuition. If you're getting a feeling that something isn't right, something isn't right.
Yes.
Don't paint the red flags pink like I have done many times. And don't justify behavior. If it's not actually giving you what you want, walk away.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, why the fuck would I want to waste my time with a guy who couldn't even take me out to coffee and was even if it was his trauma, sorry, go to therapy and come back when you're ready. You know, like, it's like, that's not the behavior that I would even tolerate anymore. So it's like, but I didn't recognize that at the time. And I think anyway, so it was also just really distressing, I think, because I was like, wow, this person knows so much about me. I wouldn't even know them if I walked past them on the street. Yeah. Like, this is terrifying. They know my, you know, business web address. They're probably looking at me right now. I had to block them on Instagram, like, block them on everything. They actually contacted me through my website form and said, I know you've blocked my messages and don't want to speak to me, but I'm just a little bit concerned because you've gone and deleted your Instagram, like, baiting me to obviously contact them. And I'm like, so you've been checking my Instagram? This is after we've already agreed no contact. So it's just weird. So I'm like, I don't know. Anyway, so they're probably still out there looking at me right now. Hopefully you're listening to this.
Sorry, you're the innocent people. But
Wow. Yeah.
That's a bit scary.
Get therapy and think about your actions. So
the levels.
Just the level of deception. And I also think that was a theme, really. And with my previous relationship and also this situation. There was a level of deception that I was willing to overlook because I was just so badly wanting to be chosen.
Yeah.
And so I think that after that, I went into like a really, really deep depression because I was also like, this was my first, like it was brave to even go back into the dating, the dating world. And I was like, for this to be my first experience, like, are you fucking kidding me? I was like, how has this happened to me again? And I think I did really fall into a very like big victim state because I almost just had to grieve the fact that it might not ever happen. And I know people are always like, but yes, it will and you'll find your person. But also I know people who are like 70 odd who don't have a person. Like it doesn't happen for everybody.
Exactly.
And so I really, and you know, you don't know what your life path is here. I might've had like 6 husbands and 24 children in my last life. Like, I don't know, like maybe this is all about me. Like,
this is a sweet ride.
Yeah. Like, you know, so I don't know. I don't know what the purpose of me, you know, being in this season of waiting or being single is. So I really think I had to grieve the fact that, okay, cool. It might not happen. Like, and that was, I think, ultimately great where I'm standing now. But at the time, I was like, what does life look like without love? And it didn't feel like I had a purpose. And so I was like in a really, really dark place because I was just like, what is my life going to be like if I've got no one to share it with? And so that was really, really, really hard. And I think ultimately I let that drag on for a few months. And then I was like, okay, cool. I need to do something about this. Like, this isn't shifting on my own. Like, none of my usual stuff was working. I was still doing all of the self tools. I was still getting the energy clearings. I was doing all of the things, but it just wasn't really clicking. And I thought, you know what? Whether I meet anyone else again or not, I need to accept responsibility and accountability for why I have allowed these two individuals into my life and clean up my side of the street. And so I went into therapy and that was so great because I think it was also just really validating to hear a professional reflect back to me the actual impact that that initial relationship had really had on me and and why this secondary situation had been so inflammatory to that because I hadn't healed from that first relationship. And so I think that was kind of the first point for me was just really having that reflected back of like, it's actually okay that you're still in this place because she said to me like in our first session, I'm like, do you understand the impact that being exposed to an individual like that has on you? And I was like, no, I actually don't. And so I think it was also really reassuring for me is because I think I was also like, I consider myself a smart woman. Like, how the hell
you are a smart woman.
Did I end up in these situations? And so I think it was also very validating to hear that actually people like that really target people, you know, that they can also then once they've got you feel better about themselves because it was like they saw you or idealized you in a certain way. So it's like, well, now that I have you, I'm as good as that. And so I didn't really realize that. I didn't realize the impact and the toll that it had really had on me. And so it really allowed me to, I think, also not only, you know, like I said, clean up my side of the street and recognize the patterns and the beliefs and the behaviors and the conditioning that I had to even allow that in my life and have the door open for that. But also, I think, just get really validated on exactly what I had experienced and have that really heard and affirmed. Like, that's actually what happened. It's not, you know, you don't need to distort it or sweep it under the rug or make it not as bad as it was. That's really, really what it was. So I think it was very healing to hear that and obviously very healing to do, you know, a lot of the work around that. And that was just one layer that was the beginning of the awakening. But
incredibly powerful layer.
Well, that was the I would say that was the mind level.
I was going to say,
And so there was a real mind, body, spirit transformation last year. So the mind level was definitely the therapy. Obviously, as you guys said, you know, I have lost 10 kilos. That was the body level. And so because I had been essentially in fight or flight for years in that relationship, not even really knowing it to myself because it had become my bench line. But also, when I look back, I definitely had symptoms of that. I had really bad perioral dermatitis at that time, which was connected to my gut. And I think that I kind of kept putting a band-aid on that issue like for the next couple of years. And then I think that situation with the catfish just obviously re-inflamed everything and brought it all back to the surface. And then I started getting really crazy health issues from that. So, you know, as I was sharing with you guys before we jumped on, I had, you know, we discovered that I had SIBO, which is a bacterial overgrowth, and that in itself is very inflammatory. But, you know, the symptoms that I were having was like wild indigestion to the point of like heart palpitations, panic attacks. I had to stand up until like one in the morning, swaying back and forth to try and shift the gas before I could go to sleep. And so that was then another layer that I really had to take care of, was actually healing the health issues, because essentially SIBO is like when there's a impairment in your, you know, gut intelligence, there's too much food that gets down into that part of your body, and so then the bacteria feeds. So because I had been in fight or flight for so long, my gut intelligence had become impaired and it wasn't breaking my food down correctly, and so that's what kind of led to the SIBO, and then that was what created some of these issues, and that was also definitely contributing to my mental well-being as well, and also my nervous system. So it was really just this vicious cycle that was feeding itself, the fatigue, oh my god, sleep cycles, the cortisol, like all of the things. And so simultaneously, I actually started the SIBO treatment at the same week as I started therapy, so there was this real tackling of the mind-body connection, which was great because I was really doing it on the same angles. And within weeks, like after like initially starting therapy and also doing the gut healing, I was like, oh my god, like I feel this shifting, like I'm feeling like the clouds part and the sun start to come out, like I actually started to feel that lightness return into my body again. And that was such like a breath of fresh air, because I was like, oh my god, I'm not going to be stuck in this hole forever, like it was, because it was a real dark night of the soul to then come out of. And I think ultimately though, the biggest piece of the awakening that I really had was the last week that I was in contact with the catfish. I was in a float tank and I was kind of like half in, half out. And again, the same voice that I heard that said, keep going, you're almost free, came in. And it's sort of like my voice, but more clear and firm. It's like, so it's again, like I said, I'm not hearing voices. Like,
just turning up the volume.
But the message that dropped through when I was like literally probably half asleep and it like jolted me out, like I almost probably drowned in the float tank, but it jolted me out. And the message that came through was, I'm bringing you to your knees to restore your faith. And I was like, whoa, I'm like, what is that? Like, I'm like, what does that mean? I'm like, and I thought, because I'd taken the week off work, I'm like, cool, I'm here. I'm surrendered. I'm like, down on my knees. I'm down on my knees already. Like, this is great. So I can only get back up from here. But that, I was actually before the SIBO, before the therapy. That was before we went into the dark hole. So this was sort of the first awareness of, I think, the spirit layer. And a few weeks after that, I was in an embodiment practice with my mentor, and she is, you know, and has always really woven God into her work. Now, I've always been a universe gal. I've never even been comfortable even saying the word God. Like, that's just was not in my bag. It was never going to be my path. I was always like the universe. I pretty much had my own little made up religion. Like, I was just like, you know, I had my own theories, my own belief system. Like, it was like whatever, like a mixed bag of everything, like slammed together, like cherry picked whatever I liked. And so, but I loved the non-specificity of that. Like, I just couldn't even like wrap my head around like using that vocabulary, let alone having a relationship, a personal relationship with God. So that was that first message that dropped through. I'm like, okay, cool. And then the next step to that was like, I was on, you know, this call with my mentor, and she's always used that word. I've been in her space for like over a year. And so my resistance to the word had softened, because I'm like, okay, cool. Like, that's how you want to describe it. That's not my way, but that's if you want to describe it that way, I'm open to like hearing it now. But I was at the end of this embodiment practice, and the message that came through was, it's time to know God. And I thought, okay, interesting. And then at the end of that call, she said she was going to be speaking in a summit. And I love anything she does. So I'm like, okay, cool, I'll sign up to this summit. I had no idea what it was. And it was actually a summit on women who prioritize God at the forefront of their business.
Wow.
And so the whole thing was God and business. Cool. And I had never heard the conversation had about God in this way. Because my experience with anyone who had spoken about God previously, to my mentor who had, you know, introduced it in such a beautiful way, but really only from people who were very much trying to push you to convert in like a very aggressive, this is what it is, this is the only way, this is through. And that just, and it was just so overwhelming, like with the level of intensity that they would come into those conversations, that I was just always like, no, like go you, do you, I'll do me. Like, and I was just, that was always so resistant to me. And also as a manifestor, it's like, don't fucking tell me what to do. I'll play whatever I want. So I think it was like, I wasn't like, that was not how I was ever going to be welcomed into that world. So I think having these beautiful women having phenomenal success in their business, having these very transparent, real conversations around God, and the woman who ran the summit, she was, you know, she said, she's like, I don't think God was ever intended to be a religion. It's a personal relationship. Mm. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay. I never even considered it in that way.
Yeah.
And so that was sort of the turning point to me to start to build a personal relationship with God. And I started praying, even though I didn't feel like anyone was there and I felt like cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Like I was just like, this is so weird.
Yeah.
And so I just like started to pray. I started to listen to worship music. I started to journal, you know, using that language and just gently bringing it in.
Mm.
But I think, ironically, I think the me choosing love as my word for the year, what I realized as I moved further down my relationship with God and developing this faith was that that was actually the love that I was looking for.
Yeah.
And I think that what it did was it really did give me this, well, it has continued to give me this incredible awakening within myself to actually also like not even just see myself in the way that God would see me, but also I think love myself in that way as well, because I feel like that yearning for love that I was looking for in the world, like I think that has satiated that hole that I felt that I had within me through having that personal connection with the Creator and having the love of God in my life that is like unwavering and it won't go anywhere. It's like immovable. And so that was one layer for me, I think, that really helped me. And like now looking back, I just think like I know that if I were to ever get into a relationship, that the type of man that God would want for me is nothing like I have accepted for myself in the past.
Yeah.
And so that even in itself has been such a big shift for me to know that I would never tolerate that again, because I'm not on my timing anymore. I'm in complete surrender to God's timing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why my timing is not the same as that. But I also just fully trust and believe that either the correct person will come at the correct timing for whatever purpose that is.
Yeah.
And I don't need to worry about that anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't need to look for that anymore. And it's like eliminated that desperation that I was coming into dating with.
Mm.
And also I think just eliminated that fear of choosing wrong and not feeling like I could trust myself in romantic connections.
Mm.
Because I know that I can turn to God for clarity and I can trust that inner voice that when it says no, fucking listen and run.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we start to look for anything outside of ourselves, we're trying to fill a void of some type. As soon as we're looking for something outside of ourselves, you know, we can, yes, we can want relationship and we can want the great job and all that, but we need to be fulfilled first.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I think also like I did really have a very healthy level of self-love for myself, which was why it was so confusing for me. Yes, but I think there's a difference between having love for yourself and also understanding and knowing that you are loved by the Creator. Like that is just such a different level of love and peace that really comes from that personal relationship. And so I think that was just such a game changer for me, but also like not only within that field, like just also recognizing my intuitive gifts come back online because I had the trust and space for that again, because I had literally, you know, and that's what my therapist told me, like you had to literally disconnect from your intuition to be in relationship, to remain in relationship with that person, because your intuition was telling you one thing, but you wanted a different outcome.
Yeah.
So I had completely detached from that. So even like feeling my gifts come online, but in a whole new way, because I also just have this like now unwavering faith of like, the, you know, what actually, you know, God sounds like, the messages that God is giving me.
Mm.
Also just understanding like how God communicates to me, the tone of like the communication, the visuals that come through and the different clarity that they have. And so I really do understand that if I pray on something or I receive something, whether it's, you know, something to trust and kind of lean into rather than that kind of chaotic monkey mind.
Can I ask?
That can overcome.
And the monkey mind is so persuasive.
Oh my God, so persuasive.
All the answers,
I have to ask because, you know, God can be so many things. Do you see God as something outside of yourself, or do you think, is your belief that God is you inside of you? God is you.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a bit of a blend of both, in the sense that I do think that God is our creator. It is, you know, out there, I suppose. Yeah. But I do also think that, you know, we were also made in God's likeness, and that we have that direct connection to God.
Yeah.
And have that connection to our creator. And I think that we can build a personal relationship and be empowered through that personal relationship.
Yeah.
So I definitely don't think that, like, I am God.
Yeah.
But I also think that we have been given God-given abilities that we can use when we build that personal connection.
Mm.
Mm. We've had a lady on previously, Laura Mazzotto, who's used to be a reverend.
A pastor, I think.
She speaks really beautifully into this space around sometimes just saying straight out, get over ourselves. but very beautifully into the space around, we were not just brought here and dumped and left alone. We have never been alone.
No.
And developing intimacy with ourselves above all else is one of the most beautiful relationships that we can have.
Mm.
And it's kind of what I hear you saying, is that you're developing intimacy with yourself through the relationship you're building with God.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also think, you know, as the feminine, and this is something that has, you know, really landed for me, is that for me, even though I've always been a universe girly, there was something that was never quite stable about that for me, because it was always like, you know, if I am doing well, the universe has my back. Yeah. If I'm not doing well, what the fuck have I done? Why is the universe not for me? What do I need to change about my state? What do I need to shift? What do I need to clear? What do I need to do to get back in alignment so the universe has my back?
Yeah.
And so it was very much coming from this energy, like, sometimes the universe has my back, but not always. And I don't really know when it's going to have my back or what. And like, I didn't really have that trust. I would be very stable sometimes and then not in other times. And I think, again, for me, when I think about the universe, the universe is the feminine. It's like this fluid, ever moving. There's so many moving parts. It's like there's, you know, and we do live in this really beautiful energetic playground. Like, we're not taking away from that. I think there is so much power in, like, the energetics. Like, it's literally like, you know, the laws of the universe. Mm. Like, it's very valid to know that there is that element of, you know, manifestation energetics that we can play with because we live in it.
Yeah.
But when I think about, like, God as the creator, and I think this is where I always resisted it, and actually one of my biggest pieces of awakening that actually even opened me up to being in the possibility of a relationship with God, was that I realized I had been rejecting the idea of God because it's always presented as the masculine. Mm. And I realized that I had actually been rejecting the masculine all the way from the top down in every aspect of my life, whether that be structure, literal men, like, you know, even though I was saying I wanted, I'm like, ugh, like, so there was like that fear, that, you know, that lack of harmony there. And then also, you know, with the creator, like, not recognizing that as God, and like, even though I don't think God is like a literal man in the sky, but the energy is masculine, and it's because it's the energy of providership. It's this stable, unmoving, unwavering energy. And I think we as the feminine dilate to receive that provision. And so I think one of the beautiful things that I've really realized through building this connection is that I also don't need to have it all together just by myself. Like, I'm not alone in this. And also, like, even when things don't necessarily look like they're going my way, that is also still provision. And so it's changed my relationship to, like, things are going well, the universe has my back. Things are not going well, what do I need to do? To, okay, cool, things are going well, thank you, God. Things are not going well, what are you teaching me?
Absolutely.
What is this here for? What do I need to learn in this moment? And that's just reshaped my relationship to, when things aren't necessarily going on my timeline or they're not necessarily going my way, it's like, that can still be beautiful too. And I think, you know, one of the lines in this worship song that I heard was, you know, from the ashes he makes beautiful things. I know, because he did it in me. And I think that has really been such, you know, that just really sums up, I think, the last 12 months of, like, even though things didn't go my way, even though I thought they were terrible and it felt like I was, you know, the little phoenix in the ashes, like, that level of provision was there, like literally in that message, I'm bringing you to your knees to restore your faith. Yeah. My faith may not have been restored had I not have had that experience. My health might not have been restored had I not have had that experience. My mental healing may not have taken place had I not have had that experience. Mm. So it's like, even though that happened, there's been so much beauty that's come from that. Absolutely. And I also feel like I feel more secure within myself, secure within my abilities, and secure within my ability to handle a God-sized vision, not a self-created vision. And so it's really also, I think, like emboldened me to start to move in new ways and even do this podcast, because I'm like, I'm not doing it for me. It feels like that's what God is saying, go and share your message.
Yeah.
And so had it just been up to me, I probably wouldn't be sitting in this chair. Mm. But it's like, I feel like when you have that personal relationship to the Creator, like, you know what He intends for you. And that allows you to be emboldened to have that frame of provision to lean into and that masculine, sturdy hand on your back to bring all of your beautiful feminine essence into the world. And I think that's where that has really shifted that relationship, is because I can also trust the things that maybe I think I want that are actually not my God-given assignment. And that has also let me release some things and shift some things as well, of like, this is what I thought I was here to do, this is what my timeline was, and now I'm seeing that it is something else. And you know, that has just been such a huge unraveling behind the scenes as well.
My goodness.
It's takes everything into quite a different space. And I can sense the security that it's that you're feeling as well,
and the clarity.
And it's kind of like, I think you might even said it now for your first podcast, around looking for things in all the wrong places, or something like that. And you know, we can spend a great deal of our life doing that.
Yeah,
but having a clear communication pathway and a clear foundation with our God-given purpose, or our our assignment, if you like, what our blueprint is, you know, like, and you're working with human design, which is astrology and the Quran and all those type of things, isn't it? Like, there's a lot of overlap of different modalities and tools that go into creating the human design as a tool for knowing ourselves. But the heart is a different space, isn't it? It's a really, really,
it's a tricky one.
And I also think as well, like, you know, when I also even look back on that year where I just threw myself into my creativity and I was, you know, really leaning so hard and heavy on my human design through that. And I also think, like, I probably wouldn't have had the courage to leave that relationship had I not have started to learn about myself through human design as well, because it allowed me to start to see my power in a new way. But I also think, like, when I look back on how I was executing and acting in, you know, 2022, like, because I was really just leaning on my human design, there was also this part of me that I think was like doing it in a very like immature way, I guess. Like, that's the only way I can really describe it, where I was like almost like a little bit like cocky, like, I'm a fucking manifester, like, I'm gonna do it, like, all this. And there was like this kind of energy around it, whereas like now I feel like, even though I personally still like believe in human design, love it, and you know, I know some other people that have found God that have decided that that's
going to be my next question, that, you know, that's where are not you for that? Them because a little bit of a, it's a little bit of a contradiction, but I suppose, you know, there's so many ways that we can look at God and who is God, and your God, my God, Amanda's God can be three different. They can all mean the same thing, but the way we view it and how we use that in our own world can be completely different.
And I think that definitely, you know, has been a little bit of a challenge, like hearing so many different perspectives, like entering this new world and having people with a certain belief system again project that onto me, and me really, you know, and the reason I really haven't spoken about this very much is because I have been going through my whole journey for the last year, because I've been trying to come to a point of like, what do I actually believe, and how does this all fit together for myself? And so, you know, for me,
which is the most beautiful thing.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I think, believe in, and I think, you know, I definitely see the beauty in both.
Yeah.
And I think that there is, you know, for me, unequivocally, I have experienced the power of human design. Yeah. I see it and breathe it every single day with the people I work through. And so there's definitely, to me, extreme validity in that and extreme power in that. And also, not everybody is going to build a relationship with God. I know friends that, like, the universe is fucking awesome for them. And, like, that's, they totally have what they need from that. And so I'm not here to, like, convict or convince anyone of what they're here to believe. But I think for me, where that, like, has been this really beautiful marrying together is, like, I can see myself through human design to a certain extent. Like, we can see our energetics, we can see our power. And also, I think having that relationship with God has also helped me strengthen my design in a new way, because there were probably elements that I was maybe using ineffectively up until this point, but also ways that I wasn't even using it at all, because I probably had all of these, you know, not self insecurities that were still playing out in my own world.
Absolutely.
And so then having this strong connection to God and knowing, okay, this is how God wants me to use those gifts, that has changed the flavor of it. I think there's
the
a more
expansion. It feels like there's
more of a steadiness, there's more of a certainty. And also, like, again, rather than me thinking, okay, what am I going to do, what do I have to come up with, what do I want to create, what do I, it's like I can turn to prayer and get that clarity and be like, okay, great. And then again, I've got this beautiful reference point and blueprint for how I'm designed to execute that. But I also have this really beautiful, you know, I have God's hand on my back doing it as well. So it's changed again that dynamic where I don't have to hold it all and I don't have to feel like it's all coming from me. It's actually coming from God through me. And I can also see the way that that plays through in my design. And so I think, again, it really comes back to building that personal relationship, which I think only has such a beautiful impact on our strength, our trust, our faith. And I think especially with how fucking crazy the world is, like, having that anchor of faith is so powerful, because I think, you know, even when we think about the universe, to me, like I said, it's always moving, it's so fluid, there's always something going on with our astrology, the star signs, like, there's so many things happening, like the human design transits, like, we can look at anything and it's constantly, like, human design transits are moving every 4 days. Like, our astrology is moving all the time. It's like, okay, great, we're entering a new year, but oh, jokes, actually it's Mercury retrograde. And there's always something happening on that capacity. But also when we just look at our own lives, and, you know, there's this guy that I actually heard, this was actually before I found God, but I heard this podcast with this guy, Bishop T.D. Jakes, and he was sharing that to him, when he looks at, like, the world, he's thinking, you know, he had these women in the audience walk around him. So he stood in the center and he got them to walk around him. And he said, okay, these ladies represent everything going on in my life. He said, have a job, lose a job, have a partner, lose a partner. Kids are at home, now they've left. Like, business going well, now it's not going well.
Yeah.
And he was like, so I can either join them and go around in a circle and have that movement move me, or I can get in the middle and I can be anchored by my faith. And even though life keeps turning and spinning, I'm not moving with it. And so I think what that faith has given me, it's given me that anchor point and that stability, that even though so much continues to change and evolve in society, in the collective, in the energies, whatever you want to look at, it's like I'm no longer bobbing around frantically moving with all of those things that are continually shifting and changing, because I've got that anchor to God and got that anchor to faith in the middle. And so that's helped me pull back from some of the swirling chaos and the uncertainty and the instability, to be like, well, I'm provided for either way. It doesn't actually matter what's going on. And yes, it's also validating and confirming, and I still love, like, oh, okay, cool, that's that transit, that makes sense, like, I still love all of that as well. But it's also given me this ability of, like, and still first and foremost, God has got me. So it's like everything can keep changing, but I'm anchored in my faith. So I can now see it from the center rather than being swirled around in the whirlpool on the outside.
It's literally, I'm just smiling because this morning we literally had a conversation on our walk and talking around some people that we've chatted with, and one of the common denominators was about being anchored in, how anchored in they were, and how enabled that them to have the certainty of expressing what they had to share. And hearing you, it's like you get that anchoring in, the
such
strength, and the, it's incredible, and that and the resolution that that gives is phenomenal. And so much has been interesting around the God space and the Jesus, Mary Magdalene, you know, the unveiling, I think, of what God and Jesus and Mary Magdalene truly mean to us as human beings.
And that has actually been really healing for me as well, because again, I didn't grow up in a religious household.
Yeah.
Like, my mum is spiritual, I would say, probably, like, you know, the same as me, had a mishmash of beliefs. Mm-hmm. My dad was an atheist. And even when I look back on my life, I can see all of these touch points where it's like, you know, God was pursuing my heart, but something intercepted.
Yeah.
And I'll give you a few examples. So one was when I was in primary school. So I've never been baptized, still haven't been baptized. But in primary school, my little boyfriend that I had at the time,
so cute.
He was trying to get me to come into religious class with him. And I was thinking about it. I was standing outside the room, and then the teacher said, "Oh, Kirsten, you're in here today. You're colouring in." I'm like, "Great, see ya."
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm so I'm like, "Right, I'm going to go in there." And, you know, even, you know, when I was in high school, you know, I really don't remember anything about, I didn't have religion in primary school. I only remember being in one class in religion in high school, even though I know I was in more, but I just literally don't remember any of it. So I was not listening, not paying attention, didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up getting sat next to a girl who was practicing witchcraft. And I was like, well, that sounds fun. Like, got sideswiped off onto that. So it's like, you know, and that was like, you know, when I was like 14 or something, I think.
Yeah.
And that phase didn't last long. But, you know, that was kind of something that I was like, okay, that sounds more fun than whatever this old man's talking about at the front.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's all these little moments in deception. Even when I was in London, when I was living there in my early 20s, I almost got a little cross tattoo tattooed on my wrist, and I didn't do it because I ultimately still don't have any tattoos today. I'm too non-committal with it, but I'm like, what if I regret it? So I didn't end up getting that, but that was something I wanted. Then my mum and I found my Pandora bracelet the other day, and I actually had a little Bible on there, because to me it represented faith. And so this theme of faith and me really wanting to be anchored in faith, I think, has existed my whole life.
Yeah.
And there's been so many moments where I think it was like almost there, but just didn't quite land.
Yes.
And so I think, like, one of the most healing things, I think, again, because the only exposure I had had to religion was through, you know, the extremity of it. And I'd, you know, even just seen things on, like, TV, you know, especially with, like, you know, the American culture, where it's like, it's been, I think, so manipulated and warped with different things and used as an agenda and, you know, different things you hear about the church. And I was like, I don't want any part of that. And so I think my own exploration with that has also been very healing, because, you know, I'd never even cracked open the Bible before in my life. And so, like, reading the Bible, I was like, oh, this is actually really beautiful. Like, this is like poetry. This is like a love letter to humanity. I'm like, where are these people getting this view from? And so I was like, this is so interesting, because I'm not picking up anywhere in what I've read what these other people are using in here. I'm like, how is this happening? I don't get it. And
is
then
it
even
the New Testament, or
yes, yeah. So I opened the old one. I'm like, well, okay, I'm not ready for that.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's a whole other thing. So, but you know, there's so much beauty in there. There's so much poetry in there. There's so many things that I'm like, wow, this is actually incredible to know and read, and it's just so, like, so beautiful. It's just literally some of the most beautiful words I've ever heard. And I was like, wow, okay, this is not what I expected. And then even learning more about Jesus, I'm like, the representation of unconditional love is incredible.
Mm.
I'm like, what an incredible figure. I'm like, regardless of what anyone believes outside of that, there is so much, I think, power in that human example of unconditional love.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a lot of beauty that can be taken from this. But I also feel like there's a lot within both spaces, and this is what I always say, anywhere there is power and control, it can easily be manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we see that even in the personal development spiritual spaces.
Yeah.
Some people do not have the correct intentions. Some people are manipulating and abusing and distorting what once was pure into something that it isn't. And I think we also equally see that in religious spaces as well. So I think for me, there is such a real, you know, a beautiful synergy that can happen.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a this or that conversation, but I also think it's about having discernment about the spaces that you choose to step into. Absolutely. And what you expose your eyes and ears to, because whatever has your eyes and ears has your imagination and your thoughts, and that controls your reality. So I think for me, there's been a lot of power in choosing the correct spaces and also being open to explore things in a way that feels really safe and secure for me, and yeah. and seeing the beauty in that, and you know, really being open to that. And I would say now, like, having explored this, I definitely think that my faith leans more on the Christian side. But I also feel like then there's that part of me that is also a little bit conflicted, because I also see the extremity that that could go to. And some of the things, you know, for example, with him, that's not something that I feel like I need to let go of. And so there's sort of this, like, I think there can be more conversation for how can we hold these responsibly and in a way that's actually really beautiful and empowering and uplifting to humanity, because ultimately that's what it's really all about. And I think that there is just so much, yeah, really incredible beauty that can exist in that. And I think ultimately what I've really learned is that, yes, God is the top priority, like nothing eclipses that, but we can still use tools like breathwork and human design to support and aid our human experience. But when we have that relationship with our creator and we have that understanding of like what actually God sounds like when he's communicating to us, and when we're receiving that communication, like, and you know, that's what my mentor said to me, you know, it's up to, it's your responsibility to know how God speaks to you. And I was like, well, actually, aside from the like random phrases that get thrown out here and there, like that are very clear, it's actually through visuals. And so understanding that then helped me understand, okay, cool, well, this is actually what a communication from God sounds like to me. And this is how I know when it's me, or you know, just an errant thought, or like whatever that is. And I can now pick up that subtle shift in the tone, and that's given me more strength and emboldened, like to be more emboldened to be like, okay, cool, this is where we're headed now, and this is, you know, the strength and the foundation that I'm standing on. And, you know, one of my things my mentor says is like, you know, there's something about a woman who chooses to be known by God rather than the world. And I think that that's just sort of, I think that beautiful like perspective shift of like, you know, choosing God's will for you, and actually also I think having that direct connection and then allowing that to empower the direction that's actually designed and intended for you. And yeah, cool, our human design, all these beautiful things are such great support tools in that to help our mind and sometimes our body understand and, you know, move through. Like, I still do embodiment practices, I still do breath work. There's so many things. I'm not neglecting all of my practices because I have that connection, but also prayer is my first priority when I wake up in the morning. So it's like, it's just shifted that ever so slightly, and I've found a way to blend those things together. And also I have noticed that it has also allowed me to let go of certain things as well. I notice that I'm very sensitive now to what my eyes and ears are exposed to. So sometimes I'll be scrolling on social, be like, whoa, I need to get off, or like, whoa, that's not for me, or like, I can't even look at that TV show anymore, or like, I have no desire to even touch alcohol. Like, there's so many things that have been removed. But I also trust, and this is also where I think the personal relationship really comes into it, because I think that for some of my friends that I've connected through, I kind of have this very split group at the moment, but for some of my friends who have really immersed themselves in the Christian spaces now, they've let go of everything in the personal development spaces. And that obviously feels correct and empowering for them, but I have not received that guidance. So I'm like, well, I'm going to listen to God's guidance for me, not your guidance for me. And again, I think that just like closes the loop on, I think that was what I was always missing, because I was always allowing other people to be like, you should get on the dating apps, you should definitely be in a relationship with this person, you should do this, and I was letting those voices get in and impact my experience rather than being really solid in like, I will listen to God's guidance, my intuition, and my inner voice, the end, period.
I'm hearing so loudly that you're just getting so clear, and this is a journey that's going to continue to build and grow and evolve, and you know, the lessons that you've experienced in relationship around handing over your power, and the skills that you have in understanding human design, how, you know, because even reading the Bible after having the learnings of human design, you would see so much more greater interpretation, I feel, because of that, as opposed to going in cold turkey kind of thing and reading the book. Perhaps it might have, you know, presented in a slightly different way. That's my feeling anyway. But I just feel, you just see that there's a the anchoring and the certainty and the strength that that's providing for you is literally opening you up into being truly who Kirsten is here to be. You can just feel that expansion, just light coming in. Yeah, it feels amazing.
Well, I think one of the really cool things about, you know, reading the Bible so late, like into my journey, like I didn't like just go out and buy one straight away. Like I think it was like 8, 9, 10 months before I even cracked that open.
Yeah.
And what I found is that some of the direct guidance that I had received in prayer through God, the visuals that I'd received, whatever that had been like in through my own direct communication, when I then read the Bible, I'm like, oh my God, that's literally exactly what I got told like 6 months ago, like almost word for word.
Yeah.
I was like, that is crazy. Yeah. Like, so that was just such a like, wow, like eye-opening experience, because I'm like, I did not know that, because I'd never had exposure to that. Like I said, I didn't grow up in a, I don't even remember religion. Like I would not have known that. And so like to just then receive that, and that's what I mean, there's so much beauty and I think validity in there, but it can just be so easily distorted and used and weaponized. And I think that again, we can see that with anything in the world, like we're humans, we do that. and so I think it's that responsibility to come back and choose the meaning and take that and extract that for yourself. And I think, you know, the reason I've, you know, really resisted talking about this so much is because I think the conversation is always just this or that. And like, I know that, you know, that beautiful woman that I said that ran that summit that, you know, opened me up, and I had never heard anyone speak about this before, was I think because in, you know, she had a pinned post for a while, which I think she's unpinned now, but in there it said like she felt too Christian for the spiritual communities and too spiritual for the Christian communities. Yeah. And like, that's kind of where I feel like I'm in this like really like down the middle kind of beautiful balance, which I love.
Yeah.
But I also think that I can tell that there will be resistance to the way that I speak about it from either way.
Yeah.
But exactly.
so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which we're going to have to
close it off. Coming back to Laura again, she works with the Akashic Records. So she's working with a lot of different realms, if you want to put it that way. But her faith in
Jesus
is immense.
Totally.
And, she's an incredible woman, and what she's sharing of herself with people and what she's so certain of in herself.
And I think also what that then comes down to is, say for example, you know, when I went on the dating apps, like that the thing that tipped me over the edge was I went to a tarot reader and she said, you're meant to be on the dating apps. Now if I had gone home and prayed about that, the answer would have been, no, you're not. And so I think it's like we can get so much, and there were so many other things she said in there that I was like, oh my God, spot on, that I still think, wow, like think back on all the time.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes we're too quick to believe the words of everyone else. And so I think that is what the connection to God gives you. It gives you that cross check to be like, hey, God, should I go on the dating apps? No, absolutely not. Stay clear. That's not what I have planned for you. Yeah. And so I think that's kind of where that blend comes, is we can still have these beautiful experiences, but it's like, okay, but then come back to that connection, what is actually true for you.
Yeah.
And you know, even for me, like what I found really fun is like I don't even, you know, necessarily like pull cards anymore looking for clarity, but because I know how God speaks me in visuals now, instead of like pulling my card to set my intention for the month, I actually tune in and receive that guidance from God, and I receive that visual from God. I'm like, okay, great. And it is always like 100% spot on for the month. So that's kind of even like little things of how that's kind of shifted for me, is like knowing that connection is like, I'll go there first.
Yeah.
And these other things are, you know, fun things you can play in if you want to, but then keep cross checking back.
Yeah.
Have you read the Conversations with God book?
I brought that, I reckon, in my late 20s. You know how I was saying, I think before we jumped on air, like that was when I sort of was like, I'm interested in personal development. I honestly don't think I made it through the first page, and I've never gone back to it. So I mean, who knows, like that might be something that I will like read now and be like, okay, that that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
that could be fun.
Yeah,
it's very interesting to discover something that is life-changing across the mind, body, spirit. And you can see how they all interweave and all interconnect, and have the dedication, I think, is a really good way of describing what you're applying to just moving forward, because of that anchoring in and the certainty. It's like there's no wavering.
Yeah.
Like, you know, from where you were sharing around your personal experiences with the heart and relationships to hearing you speaking now around your prayer and, you know, where you're where your compass is taking you.
Yeah.
You're such a different person, like literally how you're where you're sitting now.
Oh yeah. Mm. And I think, you know, that's really what the awakening was designed to do, is because I also like deeply know and feel now that wherever God intended me to go, I was not going to be able to go there without that relationship, without that connection, without that faith and without that clarity. Mm. So where I had arrived, where I was like, oh my God, most creative year ever, like woo, fucking loving it, look at all the things I'm doing, like that was also going to be the peak. That was as far as I could go. Like I was never going to go further than where I was because of that instability and the like, things are working out, they're not working out, they're not right. Like, and just, you know, planting that clarity in everywhere else that was so interchangeable and movable that I really did, I think, reach the limit to where I could go alone. And I think that where God intends me to go, I don't know, but it's like that level of faith was required, like I said, to have a God-sized vision rather than a Kirsten-sized vision. And I wouldn't have been able to do that without that relationship. And I think, yeah, it is just emboldening me to continue to do that, because I think also it's shifted my perspective of, like, you know, even say, for example, like, what do I want to create, to how can I help? How can I serve? Like, how can I use the gifts that God has given me in the way that he wants me to? And that, I think, has just like added this different richness to what I'm now doing. And even like I've noticed within my client sessions, like I said, with all of these intuitive gifts coming online, it's like the clarity that I'm able to provide them, the guidance that I'm able to receive for them, is just so much more powerful and clear. And yeah, it's just, I think, unfolding at such a rapid pace now, but it's like having that strength behind me has just really shifted everything.
Oh, it's exciting too, because also from when you've spoken in the past with, at the podcasts and just conversations, there's a lot of you know, life experience there as well, which gives you an incredible connection with the people that you're seeing through your for your business.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, also, I am a 6-line profile in human design. Like, the experience is definitely a part of the plan too, unfortunately. But also, when I had a look the other day at, you know, my one of my core values in my design, which is actually one of the ways in which we best connect to our community, mine is actually all around faith and spirit abundance. And so even that in itself, and this is what I mean about that beautiful intersection of, like, you don't have to write one thing off.
Yeah.
I think when you have a pure intent behind it.
100%.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why, you know, to me, yes, human design still has an incredible validity and I love it. And how could I not love it? I see it, you know, the way that I use it is in such a really pure, beautiful, empowering way, where I'm always focused on how can I make people see how incredible they are.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, I also am coming from it. It's not rigid. It's not dogmatic. You have free choice. And so,
it's, you know, not a doctrine. It's,
yeah.
And it's, yeah, the freedom of choice aspect is, I think, with any belief or practice or modality or tool, is a key point in place around how effective it is, because we, as you've been saying, we're each of us so individual and so unique, which human design gives an incredible
insight into.
Entirely.
And then, you know, you have that approach to inviting people to see how beautiful and how incredible they are, and, you know, see themselves.
Yeah.
Through, you can say, God's eyes.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, girls, we are going to round it off. It's been a good one.
So we're going with this, Kirsten.
Where with this, Kirsten?
Well, should you split this in two parts again?
I was going to ask. So your website's still up and running? Yes.
Yeah, of course.
You've got a new Instagram, or is it still the
same? No, it's still the same. Okay. So @KirstenMorrison.co on Instagram, and KirstenMorrison.co on the website.
Perfect.
I have also just opened up a self-paced shop. I don't know if you saw that. But this? So I had someone ask me, they said, do you do any self-paced courses? Because that's how I prefer to learn. And I was like, actually, I've got loads sitting collecting dust in Thinkific. So I have created a bit of a storefront on my website now. So there's 5 different self-paced programs to take yourself through in there as well. And one of those is called Metamorphosis. So if you are going through a time of rebirth and change and transformation, that experience was designed off the back of my own experiences that have been outlined in this podcast. And really those three phases to stabilize and actualize that change and anchor into your faith as well.
Amazing. Well, we'll put that at the bottom of the podcast, all the links for that.
Yeah.
So people, if they're interested, they can jump on. And for human design sessions.
Yeah, you can still do human design readings. Yep. I've got my advanced human design readings, human design reader training.
Unreal.
Mentorship, which combines all the things, the mentoring, the breath work, the human design.
Epic.
So it's still all happening.
Yay.
We've got the physical products, the self-paced. There's a lot going on. I actually realized, because I had to walk my students through this in By Design, I was showing them all the systems and process I have behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And then I kind of got off the call and I was like, wow, there's a lot going on.
like, a lot of work's gone into it.
Well, it's, you know, it's 3 years in the making. Yeah. Well, just the human design element, 3 years. I mean, it's been like 5 or 6 years now, the whole thing. But yeah, it's definitely. Beautiful.
Well, you were describing when we were in contact before you know, to arrange today around your experience, you're describing it as a rebirth.
Yes.
And the fact that you've got Metamorphosis there in place. I mean, it's what it's about, isn't it? Really, giving yourself the opportunity to take what you've learned, take out what no longer serves you, and transform into, you know, what is here sitting waiting for us, what we've come in for.
Because one thing we can be sure of is that we will continue to experience change.
Absolutely. Beautiful way to end.
Yep.
Thank you.
Epic.
She comes in my dreams.
Thank you for listening to our Girl Awakening podcast. We are also on YouTube as Girl Awakening. We'd love to see you there with comments on how our guest resonated with you or your own awakening. Please share the love with a like and subscribe while you're there. A blissful thank you to Ksenia Luki, the amazing artist behind our theme song. We will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.